It is such a privilege. I guess we've probably known you a year and a half, maybe. Not even that long. I don't know.
Longer.
Oh, longer?
Time
I've lost
flies when
track.
you have
It does.
fun.
Muriel's one of us. I don't care where she's from or where she goes to church. She's one of us. And it's always such a pleasure to have her fill the pulpit and to just be able to visit with us. And I'm so glad Stephen asked her to fill in for him today. So, without further ado, I feel like I should call you Reverend Johnson, but to me, you're just Muriel. So. And to my mama, too. My mama named me Muriel. And although I am not ashamed of the title Reverend and pleased to be a part of a denomination that doesn't deprive me of the title Reverend, I like being called Muriel because my mother and they named me that. And how I knew that I was being called, because when God called me into ministry, he called me by name. He didn't say woman. So I don't fuss with people about that, but I do appreciate that. And I always feel at home here. I was laughing. You said a year and a half, and I had to think about that. I think it was about 4.5, 5 years ago that I was gifted with Area 4. You were part of Area 4. I've been doing regional ministry for 15 years, but I say to everyone, I got blessed with Area 4, which means I got more churches to serve with no more money and no more Sundays and no more, So people say, when are you coming to see us? I say, I had 90 churches. So I want you all to keep it real low that I've been here twice in the last 4 months, okay? Because, people are, well, what's happening with them? Did they? But I'm always delighted to be here, always delighted about the spirit that is in this place, delighted that I can find my way here now. Y'all remember when I first started coming? I'd be driving, I was lost, but now I can come from any direction. I don't even need the GPS anymore. So I thank God for that. I want to greet you on behalf of your American Baptist churches all throughout Missouri and Illinois. You have 260 churches, sister churches, all through those areas, some urban, some rural, some in the Dell. And I love to say that when people say, "Where are you preaching this?" I said, "I'm going to Boscadel, where the church is in the Dell." And somebody said to me last night, "The Dell?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "The Dell?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Like the farmer in the." So I'm just delighted to be here. Delighted to be here. And so, with all of those greetings said and done, I think it's just time to turn to the Word of God. Is that all right with you? All right, then. As we say in some of our churches, it's preaching time. So today, my text is from Hebrews, the New Testament book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first through the seventh verse. And I'm going to read it that we might get centered for this time that we have together. And the scripture reads like this: Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of that word, and may we find something in that word for us today, right here, for our lives, in the situations and the conditions that we find ourselves in. Will you pray with me just a minute? Gracious God, it is me, Muriel. And I come before you now, God, asking you to hide me behind your cross. I ask, oh God, that you would allow me to speak the words that you have given, and that you would open ears and hearts that they would hear the words that you would have people to hear in the way they would need it, that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened, that they would see Jesus anew, that someone who might be within the sound of my voice who has strayed away or who's looking for a church home, or Lord, I just pray that this word would just go out and pour out and be the anointing that you would have for this congregation. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk with you just a little bit, preach a little bit this morning. I know that the title says Faith Now, but I want you to flip that over. I want to talk about now faith. Now faith. Now, for many of us here, you know, I know y'all don't want to hear nothing about no political announcements, elections, candidates, ballot boxes, nothing. You hear what I'm saying? We thank God that the election, that we have the right to vote. We thank God we will have the election, and we're going to thank God when it's over. Right? The trees that are in my mailbox from all of these, I'm gone. So, you know, when I get home, they look like this. But with all of that going on, the one thing we can rest assured of is that our God is in control. And if our faith is in those things here, temporal, like that, we're going to be in trouble. But we know that God is in control. And we know that God is sovereign. And we know that sometimes the only thing we're deciding is whether or not we're going to do it the hard way or the easy way, because it's going to be God's way. And I have come to understand that. I've come to understand that there are seasons in our life where faith is tested. There are seasons in our lives, personally, when things happen with our families or with us, that, you know, we get sick. We're getting frail. My knees are giving out. Arthritis is talking to me on a daily basis. We have become kissing cousins. And I can't help but laugh. I don't know this sister, but I hope she can take a little teasing. But I thought, how brave to actually admit, I'm not following the instructions in my... But Lord, heal my foot. And the prayer wasn't, Lord, heal my foot. It was, Lord, make me do what I'm supposed to do. So I want to just say that's a moment where we're being tested in some ways. And we know this. We know this in our communities. We see this as all the turmoil that's in the world. Even in some of our churches, you have a lovely church here and a lovely faith community. But you got to know, one of the reasons that I have a ministry is because everybody ain't happy in church. Sometimes we have to work through things. And I believe that this faith piece becomes so essential for who we are as people of God. This, our faith, the testimony of our faith, becomes a legacy to the God we serve. The text is clear. All of these names that we know, these great names of the Bible, they, by the way they lived and by the way they trusted God, their names become written not only in the book of life, but in this holy sacred text, because by faith they did things that other people thought was a little off key. Can you imagine Noah's friends while he's out there building an ark? I'm sure on dry land. I'm sure they was like, that boy has lost it. We ought to put him on the prayer list. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Enoch's people? Enoch fascinates me because the scripture says that Enoch was pleased God. He just walked off with God. You know, I could just imagine people, his friends, would be singing some of them old Motown songs. Have you seen him? Where did Enoch go? He didn't die. He walked off with God. And so I understand when we read about other people's faith, that is encouraging us to know who God is, and that they trusted their faith in God, and therefore it models for us to trust our faith in God. When I came in today, I'm always amazed by y'all of these Christmas boxes. I got churches that got more people in them than these boxes. And they, when they get ready to do boxes, you can put the boxes in a little, the amount of boxes you do, the dedication to this is just amazing to me, because you got to know that legacy goes on. You got to know that everybody that looks at that and sees that lovingly prepared by this church, what a testimony that is. I wonder, in fact, I know one of the matriarchs of this church. The first time I met her, I was like in the summer, and she was carrying Christmas boxes. And I thought, what is going on here? She was already preparing by faith, keeping working. Doing, and she's so humble about it, so I'm not going to call any names because I might get in trouble. But I'll just say, you know, one of the matriarchs of the church keeps doing work by faith. So living by faith is something that all of us must do as Christians. Because as we sit here and take warmth and comfort in knowing our God, in knowing each other and having experiences, real live experiences of faith. Do you know that there are people in the world who have never had an intersection with faith? Never. Can you imagine? You know, I often say, I don't know what people do who don't know Jesus. Because life gets hard. Yes, it is. Things get tossed around. Sometime when I'm doing my very best, or I'm trying to do my very best, sometime I act my very worst. Not because I want to, but just in my humanness, things happen. And I often wonder, how would people get through some of the trials and tribulations of life without Jesus? Because although we know that God loves us, and we know that God is with us, we know that life is not a stroll through the rose garden. And even when we go through the rose garden, there's a thorn or two. How many of you know that there's a thorn or two in life? If you haven't had a thorn or two in life, keep living. It will happen. And if you are at a point in life where you say, well, nothing bothers me anymore, well, guess what? It'll bother something that you love. The enemy may not be victorious, but the enemy is a worthy opponent. And when the enemy can't get to you, the enemy will get to what you love to get your attention. How many parents know what it's like to have their children attacked with something and have to pray day and night that everything will be all right? Well, so preacher, what has this got to do with now faith? Well, it has everything to do with it, because it's not just talking about somebody's faith that we learned about in the Bible. It's not even just talking about grandmother's faith. It's talking about your faith, the experiences that you have, the things that bring you over, the doors that God opened for you. You have to, we have to, I have to exercise now faith. Even when I can't stand another political ad, I have to exercise now faith. I have to be that person that in our community and in my workplace or wherever I go, to stand and say, whatever's going on, I know a man. I know Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that he is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. That even when things don't look like it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. Even when I don't feel the best, it's still going to be all right. We have now faith. It is now faith that gets you to get up on Sunday morning and roll out here to church. Some people stayed home at Bedside Baptist today. Some people are charter members of Bedside Baptist. Some people don't even pretend. They just say, you know, they're not trying to get the bedside Baptist. They're just telling you right now they're not going. But it is an act of faith that in spite of your aches and your pains and the challenges in your life, that you come to church to worship a God that you know is able. That even when you're grieving, you come to church because you worship a God that you know is able. Even when your foot is hurting, you come to church, you press on, you do the things that you need to do. Not because it is anything magical in the building, because we are the church. And when we gather and glorify a God and are reminded that our God intersects with our lives right now. Right now. How many of you know that you're blessed right now? Amen. Right now. Everybody that went to sleep last night didn't wake up this morning. You're blessed right now. We are blessed to be, my grandmother, I used to hear this all the time. I am reasonably clothed in my right mind. And I used, as a little girl, I used to say, what does that mean? They praying not to be crazy? Clothed in their right mind. But you know what? I've come to understand that a little differently. You know, I say any morning that I get up and I don't put my shoe on my ear and my earring on my foot, then it's a good day. I'm in my right mind. Sometimes we have to be grateful. We take for granted the things that God has given us by faith. Do you know the air we breathe? We can't even see it. Well, on a bad day we can, but we can't see it. But we take for granted every breath. If God would just hold back the air, our lives would be over. We, by faith, wake up every morning and take it for granted. Lay down at night. Take it for granted. Not in a bad way. It's just God has been blessing us so often and so routinely. And even when we didn't deserve it, some of us begin to think that we're being blessed because it was something we did. We're being blessed because we serve a God who so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. We need now faith, not only for us to be reminded that our God is able and that our God is loving and that our God cares for the world. We need now faith because we may be the only intersection that some people have with faith. When a child who has never received anything but slaps against the head or name calling gets a gift from someone they don't know. That's an act of love. That is an intersection that says somebody cares for me. You are acting as the hand of God when you stand in a place and be the intersection of faith. When someone asks you to pray for them when they're in the hospital. You know, I go to the hospital every now and then, even now, although I'm not in congregational ministry, and pray with people. But other people in the hospital, in the room, will say, will you pray for me too? Can you pray for me too? That is an intersection of now faith, that you can stand with another person that you don't know and pray for their healing to this great God that we know. It's now faith that we carry with us so that when we run into somebody who's in trouble, who's lonely, who's forgotten, who's broken, who's hurting, that we stand with a smile, that we stand and act in a way that says, you have value to me. You have value to the world. And why do we do that? Because we serve a God who loves the whole world, a God who sees everything about us and yet still loves us. I think during this season, this idea of now faith in this time of our country, in all of the midst of everything, we have to be able to stand where we are as God's people and be that intersection of faith. Now faith that says we may disagree on how to get things done. And we may disagree on how we see different issues, but we agree on this. We agree that our God so loved the whole world that he sent his only son. We agree that everyone has access to the tree of life. We agree that God has a power to heal us and to save us and to act in our lives in a way that no one else. We agree on those things. And you know, sometimes we spend so much time talking about what we don't agree about. The world is doing a pretty good job of that without us. Let's let them have that conversation. Let us have the now faith conversation that says, yes, we don't deny your pain. We don't deny your point of view. What we deny is the fact that we cannot continue to beat up on each other. We cannot continue to close our eyes to hungry children and people. We cannot let our community schools go down the drain. We cannot. There are some things we cannot do. And we can have the now faith that says we have a God who has a record, a proven record, not only from years before, not only for grandma's time, not only for our time, but for our grandchildren's time and our great-grandchildren's time. The name that I like for God is the Great I Am. God says, I'm the Great I Am. It's the Old Testament, I Am. And when you look at the Hebrew of I Am has a present tense, a future tense, and a past tense. When God says, I am, right, brother preacher? He's saying, I was, I am right now, and I will be. I was, I am right now, and I will be at the same time. And that tells me that I can have now faith. Wherever I'm at, I can have now faith. And it also tells me that when you take your now faith to the places that you work, serve, the places you volunteer, you bring the very intersection of the heart of God with a people who are looking to be loved. I believe that every human being was created with a space in them, an empty space. And that empty space can only be filled by God. Sometimes we're looking for things and people are looking, they say looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for money. We're looking for security. And sometimes what we're looking for is that peace that's missing. God inviting us to invite God back into us. I want to say to you today, I'm encouraged by your now faith. I'm encouraged that we sit here together, praising God, working together. I am encouraged by our now faith that as our country is being divided over socioeconomic issues, race issues, policy issues, here we sit looking like the kingdom of God because we have now faith. Amen.